I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asked 4 questions to Krishna. The 4 signs of an illumined soul. First, ka bhasha, what is the sign of an illumined soul? You are talking about an illumined soul, you know, is always absorbed in God consciousness. Worldly things cannot perturb him. I like to know those signs so that I can practice. So Krishna first said that the person who is completely free from desires, his mind is established on the self. That is his sign. Then kim prabhasheta. Prabhasheta means, what is his behavior? And the 3rd question is, kim asita, how does he live in this world? I like to know. And the 4th question is, kim brajita, how does he move around? So tonight, Krishna will reply the 3rd question, kim asita, how does he live in this world? It is a very vital question to us. We live in this world, we do not know how to live. Krishna says, O Partha, when a man completely casts off all desires of the mind, his self, finding satisfaction in itself alone, then he is called a man of steady wisdom. He who is not perturbed by adversity, who does not long for happiness, who is free from attachment, fear and wrath, is called a Muni of steady wisdom. He who is not attached to anything, who neither rejoices nor is vexed when he obtains good or evil, his wisdom is firmly fixed. When he completely withdraws the senses from their objects as a tortoise draws in its leaves, then his wisdom is firmly fixed. This verse we shall read tonight. Yada samharate chayam kurmanganiva sarvasah indriyan indriyarthibhya tasya prajna pratishthita. When he completely withdraws his mind from the sense objects, like the tortoise withdraws its limbs when it is struck by someone else, a man of steady wisdom lives in this world in that way. It is very interesting. I do not know whether you played with the tortoise or not. In our boyhood days, we sometimes used to catch tortoise from our paddy field, from our lake also, from our pond. And the strange thing, you know, the moment you hit the both lower shell and the upper shells, both are very hard. Even with an axe, it is very difficult to cut. The moment you hit its that neck, long neck, you may call it mouth, and the 4 legs, immediately it withdraws within. You may hit and hit and hit, it will not come out. The yogis adopted this technique of the tortoise in their spiritual life. Their minds are so sharp, so fine, so sensitive that they get signal from a distance. Undesirable thought, undesirable element, undesirable people are detected by the sharp, fine mind of the yogi. His mind is just like a radar. It catches. And immediately becomes alert. Not, You know, if some people think that, you know, yogis do not suffer from trials and tribulations of life, from temptations, it is not true. It comes to them, but they are not affected. Because they withdraw their minds from the objects. They shut, completely shut the nine gates of the body. Krishna will discuss these things elaborately in the fifth chapter of the Gita. Navodare puri dehi noiva kurpan nakarayan. A yogi lives in the body of the nine gates and he is not attached to the world. We also do that sometimes. You know, if there is any cyclone or a storm, sandstorm, immediately you shut your doors and windows. When the storm is over, again you open your doors and windows and get fresh air. The yogis follow the same thing. Yada sangharate chayam purma anganiva sarvasha. Indriyan indriyarthibhya taisya prajna pratishthita. This mind is the king of the sense organs. Sense organs cannot function without the help of the mind. The yogis have full mastery over the mind. So the sense organs are his slaves. The mind of a yogi is just like a queen bee. Wherever it goes, the senses follow. So the yogis generally keep their minds in God, keep their minds in the innermost self. So the senses cannot do anything to the yogis. Mind is the most important thing. Please, Swami, do they not see or do they not eat food? Do they not their sense organs are they not active? They are active. It is one of our Swamis told us an interesting phenomenon about the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. He said he met Holy Mother, Swami Brahmananda, Sharadananda, Turiyananda, most of the direct disciples are acquainted with him. He said, I observed very minutely they lived in this world absent-mindedness. What do you mean by absent? They are talking, at the same time you may feel that this person was not there. What do you mean, Swami? Does he not have any attention to a person? Or sometimes he has. When he is talking or something, you know, discussing something, his mind is there. But other times, his mind is not in this world. He said it is hard to explain, but it is a strange phenomenon I noticed in the direct disciples of Ramakrishna. Mahapurush Maharaj was thinking about Sri Ramakrishna, and in the meantime, a person came and bowed down to him. And the Swami was about to fall. He did not notice who bowed down to him. Then his attendant said, "No, you do not know how to salute a holy man. When he is seated, please salute him. When he is moving, don't touch his feet." Then Mahapurush Maharaj stopped his attendant and said to him, "Don't scold him. He does not know where I was." You know, when the Swami was moving, a person came and bowed down to him. And he was about to fall, stumble. "You do not know how to salute a holy man." So you see, their minds are not in the world. At the same time, their bodies are in the world. They're watching, they're talking. 50%, 60% minds are within. Swami Sivananda said that don't think that bad thoughts do not come to us. They come. We see from a distance that they are coming. Immediately we stop them there. So they do not reach us. They come. The vibration comes in the mind, but you stop them from existence. Yogis can do that because their minds are controlled, trained. Duradrama Sravanam, Duradarshanam, they see things far ahead. They listen things far ahead. Through meditation, they get this power. A sixth sense grows. I saw a documentary movie on Sahara Desert, that how the caravan passes through the desert. A camel can drink 28 gallons of water at a time and can survive without water for 14 days. And when there is a sandstorm, they sense from a distance, they get some kind of signal. Immediately that camel will sit down, you know, will lie down on the ground, and will put their head under the sand and will sit like that. Immediately the caravan people know a sandstorm is coming. Immediately they take precaution and they take shelter. This is a strange phenomenon. Same thing, the yogis, their minds are so powerful that like a razor, this sense that something is coming. And if you are ready, your enemies cannot defeat you. Just see. When you are unprepared, if you are attacked by your enemies, you will be defeated in no time. But if you are prepared, ready, your enemies cannot defeat you. That Tasya Prajna Pratishthita, that man is unshaken and firmly established in me, the Lord of Love, who can withdraw his senses at will from sensory objects. Yada samhrati chayam kurmu anganiva sarvasa indriyan indiyarthipa tasya prajna pratishthita. Next verse. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha raso varyam rasepyasya param drishtva nivartate. Krishna says, the objects of the senses fall away from a man practicing abstinence, but not the taste for them. But even the taste falls away when the Supreme is seen. Arjuna was thinking, well, perhaps if I can mortify my body, desires, passions, anger, all these subtle enemies won't be able to touch me. Krishna says, no, don't think in that way. There is a difference between outer abstention and inner renunciation. Self-mortification is not the way. When you read the Christian mystics, some mystics, they torture their body. They torture their bodies. In India also, you will find some monks lying down on the nails or doing severe austerities without eating any food, living in the cave without seeing the face of any human beings. They adopt so many things to conquer their mind. Krishna says, don't try that way, Arjuna. It will not work. Swami, then why did they prescribe these things? That type of discipline, self-mortification. You know, it is hard to understand the inner meanings of the scriptures. Suppose a person has a tremendous demoniacal nature. He is just like a demon. The scripture says, you want to control your demoniacal nature? Yes, fast. 3 days, or take 1 meal a day, so that fellow's energy will be reduced, you see. You see, this you will have to understand the injunctions of the scripture. It varies from person to person. Krishna says to Arjuna, look, by force, you cannot control your mind. Let it come in a natural way. If that is the beauty of Vedanta. Vedanta does not advise to renounce everything. Slowly, slowly it will come to your mind. Vedanta says, transcend. One of our monks from Hollywood went to Mount Athos in Greece to see a monastery there. He was telling me that in the last 300 years there was not a single woman in that island. Women are not allowed. And he wrote an elaborate article in the Prabuddha Bharata. Some people think that is the way, you know, they will conquer desire for lust, desire for other things of the world. It will stay in the mind. Swamiji says, so long lust within you, so long you have lust within yourself, you will see man, woman outside. If there is no lust, you will not see any man or woman. Swami Turiyananda told a beautiful story of a holy man in the Himalayas who was in a cave for 30 years. He used to come only once a day for food. And one day, he was old at that time, he heard some sound of anklets of a woman. You see, the Himalayan tribal girls, sometimes they go and graze their cows and buffaloes and goats in the Himalayan range. So he heard the sound of the anklet. He came out from the cave just to see who is outside. Then a thought came to his mind. Last 30 years I was in this cave. Today, a curiosity came to my mind. Who was passing by with anklets? I shall not move from this place. He sat down there and started meditation. He never moved from that place and gradually he died. Of course, he was old. In when a person gets that parabairagya, supreme renunciation, this curiosity also goes away. Vishaya vinivartante. Krishna is describing to Arjuna, look, there are some people, maybe physically sick or physically unable to do anything. Don't think the desire for worldliness is not there. It is there. He is physically incapable. That does not mean that his mind is not willing to have those worldly things. The rasa, that attachment is still in the mind. Attachment is not in the body, it is in the mind. Then Krishna said to Arjuna, that attachment, that curiosity will go away only when you attain the self-knowledge. You know, his mind is a strange phenomenon. Tvaisya prajna pratishthita. Krishna is repeating that word again and again. Tvaisya prajna, prajna means intellect. Pratishthita, established. Where? In the self. Then what will happen? If his intellect, if his mind is established on the self, what will happen? He will be illumined. He will reach the source of bliss, source of happiness. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. The Swami, how can we eradicate or avoid our curiosity for the worldly things, Patanjali says, dhyana heyas tad vrittayah. There are five kinds of affliction: avidya, ignorance, asmita, ego, raga, attachment, desha, aversion, avinivesh, desire to clinging to life, desire to cling to life, or fear of death. These five things can be eradicated through meditation. If there is any dirt in your cloth, what do? You wash it with water. And if there is still any stain, then you use some spot remover or some other chemicals. Similarly, the gross aspects of desire can be eradicated through nishkam karma. The subtle things can be cleared through discrimination and renunciation. Patanjali further says, Te pratiprashava hiya sukshma. It is very true to remove the subtle desires from the mind. You see, gross desires can be stopped through japa and meditation very fast. Subtle desires are terrible. Name and fame, those subtle things are very difficult to conquer. You see, desire for worldly enjoyment or desire for money and desire for all these things can be stopped through deep meditation. But with desire for name and fame, there are subtle desires are working within our minds. They are very difficult to conquer. Shukra, subtle desires. They are invisible, so they are very difficult to conquer. If you can, you will attain that nirbija avastha or vijnana dhatu, according to Buddhistic philosophy. Vijnana dhatu, vijnana means whom? Pure consciousness. When a person controls his subtle desires, his mind becomes one, united with the pure consciousness. He gave a very good illustration. If we remember Patanjali's definition of dharana, the first stage in meditation, it may give us some idea of the behavior of the senses in the early years of our sadhana. Patanjali, with his unfailing spiritual accuracy, says that dharana is the effort to confine the mind in a limited area. Imagine the mind to be a dog. If I take a dog to the store and chain him outside while I go in, telling him, I'll be out in 2 minutes, just a few groceries and I am done, the dog will expect me to come back soon. When he does not see me coming out, he will start going round, howling and putting his paws on the glass, trying to see me. After a while, when I still have not come out, the dog will finally become tired of looking. After a lot of restlessness, after walking about and whining, he will turn around 3 times and then lie down. The mind is very much like that. It has got to run about and howl a little, then stand up and see who is inside and what is coming out. But after a while, it will turn around 3 times and lie down. The senses too are very restless. They are so turbulent and have been indulged so long that even when you are beginning to restrain them by eating only when hungry and only what is nourishing, they still may rebel. Though you may be having only a meager breakfast, a spare lunch, and a proper dinner, you are still thinking about what makes a sumptuous meal. And mentally, you are eating a long list of items. in your external consumption of food, there may be extreme restraint, but for a long, long time, the old sense cravings and selfish desires are going to be there in the mind. Sri Krishna is very compassionate when you are restraining the senses. He admires you for that, and he does not hold it against you if once in a while you are tempted to say, "If only I had not taken to meditation." What is required for a long time is our conscious effort, our sustained discipline in restraining the senses. Gradually, these noxious weeds of sense cravings will begin to wither away if we do not yield to them. Even though the desires may arise in the mind, if we subject the senses to an external discipline, the desires will gradually cease to agitate our minds through the practice of meditation. In samadhi, when we see the Lord, the source of joy, then we do not need any other source of pleasure. When we see the source of all beauty, then we do not need any other source of beauty. When we see the source of all love, we do not need any other source of love. In samadhi, Sri Krishna says, we become complete. All the vacancies are filled, and there is no more craving. When we consistently practice this exhilarating discipline of discriminating sense restraint, the time will come when we shall see for ourselves that the connection between our senses and the sense objects is cut. It is a glorious day that we can mark on our calendar as Deliverance Day and celebrate every year because it brings such a relief. Then we can go everywhere in freedom. There is no compulsive liking or disliking. We are free to choose. You know, Vedanta will train your sight, will train your senses, will train your mind, so that the world which we see will change. Let me give an example. Once upon a time, a beautiful woman, very young, very beautiful, died. And her body was taken to the cremation ground. In India, generally they burn bodies with wood. You know, there are a few places you will find electric or gas furnace. And when her body on the funeral pyre, sometimes you will find in the cremation ground some vagabonds live around. Some yogis also go there to practice their meditation. I used to go to a cremation ground because that will give you instant renunciation. This is the fate of human body. When I was young, I carried so many dead bodies. I started when I was 6 or 7 years old. Anyhow, I think so. An old man of our village died. We carried his body to the cremation ground. Anyhow, a lustful man was seeing the dead body and was thinking, "Oh, if I could get her while she was alive, even for a day." A dog was watching the dead body. "Oh, her flesh is so beautiful, if I could eat that body." And the yogi was meditating. He also noticed that beautiful woman is on the funeral pyre. He was thinking, "Oof, she got such a beautiful body and she did not practice yoga discipline." Just see, three persons watched that woman from three different angles. Object is one. That one beautiful young woman's body. But three projections are there. So Vedanta will teach you that the way other people see the world, you will not see the same way. What is inside, that is outside. Why the You see, Sri Ramakrishna told that beautiful parable. Mind is just like a cloth in a washerman's house. That washerman has various tubs, buckets. Each bucket has a particular color. Blue, yellow, red, white, violet. You have come with your cloth and said, ask the washerman that I want yellow color. He will dip your cloth in that yellow color. So whatever color you want, the washerman can give it to you because he has all colors. So Sri Ramakrishna said, that what type of color do you want? Tell me. I have all colors. I can soak your mind with that particular color. Worldly color, spiritual color, half worldly, half spiritual. I have various combinations here. Sri Ramakrishna's philosophy is very interesting, you know. There is a scope for everybody. That is the beauty of Vedanta. There is a scope for everybody. It is hard to explain, you know. Sometimes strange people, apparently very worldly, but they make tremendous progress. I knew a person in California. Sometimes when I would shake hands with him after lecture, I would get odor of alcohol, you know. Swami, how are you? I'm all right. How are you? I'm fine. That man is a great devotee. Swami, I gave my home to this society. Is it all right? And that is good. He's a single man. Very devoted to the Lord. But his external behavior is off. It is hard to say, you know. The next verse. Yatato hi api kaunteya purushasya vipashita indriyani pramathini haranti prasavang manaha. The turbulent senses, ausanap kunti, violently carry off the mind even of a wise man striving for perfection. Don't be proud in spiritual life. Nobody knows when you will be ensnared by the trap of Maya. Nobody can predict. There is a saying in our language. Of course, that is connected with a housewife. We adopt that thing in our monastic life too. Ullo nari pullo chai tobe she narir gun shoti kolonko nai. A woman should not be proud that she is chaste. When her body will be burned, her ashes will fly and will say that I am chaste. I am pure. So we adopted that verse on monastic life. When a monk should not be proud about his purity, when his body will be burned, his ashes will declare that I am pure, I am pure, I am pure. There is a beautiful story in our history. Once Akbar, the Mohammedan ruler, Mohammedan emperor, asked his court jester, at Birbal, he was a Hindu, could you ask your mother whether she had conquered last or not? And being a son, how can he ask his mother that whether you conquered your last or not? So Birbal went to his home and was very much depressed. He did not dare to ask his mother. So he kept quiet. He did not go to the court even. You know, the king's court. He did not go there. Several days were weak. And he was not eating any food. His mother observed the condition of his son. And she heard from someone else that Birbal was not visiting the king for this reason, because he was hesitant to ask her that you know, embarrassing question. So his mother was a very intelligent woman. She went to the kitchen and took some ashes. You know, in the coal or coke, if you if you cook, the ashes go down. So she took some ashes and put it in an envelope and sealed it. And then made a beautiful packet and gave to her son and said to him, your answer is in this packet. You go and give to the emperor. The Birbal was also perplexed. He did not know what was inside. So he carried that packet to the king and said, my mother gave this packet to you. The king opened that packet and found some ashes. And he said, your mother is right. Your mother gave the right reply. Right answer. A person, so long your body is there, that passion, the desire will stay in the body. It may not be effective, but it will remain in the, it will be in the body. So, Swami Turiyananda used to tell that story to the people. And he said, don't be proud. Yatatam havi kuntiya purushasya viposhita. Viposhita purusha. Very talented person. Advanced souls also fall. Do you know? When mind comes to this plane, from here, there is no more chance of falling. Up to this plane, up to this chakra, there is a chance of falling. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. Up to this fifth chakra, your mind, there is a chance of falling. But when it comes here, in the sixth chakra, there is no chance of falling. The mind fluctuates. Once there is another beautiful story. Joimini, the great sage, had an argument with his guru. Vyasa says that even the jnanis should not be proud about their achievement. Jnani here, Shankara defined Jnani as an high soul, as an advanced soul, an advanced spiritual aspirant, not that illumined soul. Shankara does not believe that an illumined soul falls. So a person who is about to reach that high state, even from that state also, he may fall. So the Swami Vyasa said, that, oh my disciple, don't be proud of your spiritual acumen. He said, no, I am fearless. I have no fear. I have conquered lust. The guru looked at him and said, no, don't be proud of it. Don't be boast of your merit. So, one day, Joimini was meditating in the shrine of Shiva. And it was evening, there was rain outside. So a beautiful woman entered that temple because she had no umbrella. She was trying to take a little shelter there. It was evening, it was raining. And Joimini was meditating. All of a sudden, he found a beautiful woman in that temple. It was a solitary place. So he wanted to reach that woman. All of a sudden, you know, the desire came to his mind. And that woman was encircling the Lord Shiva. And Joimini was also following her. And he could not hold her. So he jumped on the image and grabbed her. The moment he grabbed her, he found it was his guru. Came in disguise, you know, Vyasa had that power. Then Vyasa said to him, did I not tell you? Don't be proud of your, you know, spiritual power. You are walking on the sharp edge of a razor. Be prayerful. You see, in spiritual life, two things help. The first thing is holy company, and second thing is prayerful life, an attitude to surrender, surrendering attitude, that I am surrendering myself to God. I surrender myself to God. God protects. You know, how does He protect? If you are a friend of the President of the United States, you have no fear of. You are not supposed to be robbed. Of course, you may be. Because, you see, President can engage some people, FBI or some detective people, to protect you because you are his friend. It is his responsibility that my friend should not be robbed on the street because you are a very important person. You are an important person. Same thing in spiritual life. If you take shelter in God, if you take refuge in Him, it is His responsibility to give you protection. As we find in the worldly plane, same thing in spiritual plane. Sri Ramakrishna said, Yogir pa tole na. A yogi has never a false step. The Lord gives protection to that person. As you protect your young children, similarly God protects His own children. Of course, everybody is a children of God, but we do not feel that way. Jatato hiyopi kaunteya purusasya vipashita indriyani pramathini haranti prasavangmana. They don't believe, don't trust the senses. They can rob at any time. Do you know how do they rob? An expert pickpocket can rob you while you are alert. You are talking, he is joking, he is making fun in front of you. He will put his hand in your pocket. You do not know what he is doing, he can rob you. I remember in Calcutta, some police officers were taking training from some pickpockets. They will teach us how you people pickpocket others. So these pickpockets are training the police so that they could catch also them, they are in jail. So the police were taking the training from the pickpockets. I heard from one of the police officers, he told me, Swami, they are genius. These pickpockets. He can smile, joke, in the bus, in Calcutta you will find the buses are overcrowded. They will put your hand, as if like that, they'll put two fingers and how they take your money out, bill from the pocket. If you see my all shirts, inside there is a pocket. Here is one pocket, inside just like that, here is another pocket. In each shirt has a separate pocket. Inside, just here. Just behind this pocket, there is another pocket. And then I put the buttons like that. That is the way I will go to in Calcutta. Calcutta buses and trams, you are not supposed to trust. No wallet. And few coins may be in the pocket for bus fare. Or some people carry bag also, handbag, But that is also not safe. Heavy crowd. Nobody knows what will happen. Anyhow, so these senses are very treacherous. You are not supposed to trust them. That Krishna said, in the very beginning you must see that, I have full control over the mind and the senses. Don't trust. They may create such agitation inside your mind you cannot believe. Haranti prasabangmana. Shankara says, Bhikshubhayanti, Akuli Bhavati, Haranti. First, it comes just like a bubble. That bubble takes the form of a ripple. The ripple becomes a small wave. Small wave takes the form of a tidal wave. At that time, it is very difficult to control the boat, save the boat. But don't neglect when you see something wrong in your mind, in a bubble form or a ripple form. Stop them immediately before it takes a violent form. You know, the Gita, the yoga aphorisms of Patanjali, will teach you how to cope with the unseen enemies, how to fight against them, how to fight with them. Janinama vichetamsi devi bhagavati hisa balada krishya mohaya mahamaya prajachati. In the Chonji, we read that the Devi Mahamaya can delude even the wise people. Take shelter in God. Take refuge in God. Surrender yourself to Him. He will give you all protection. In the next verse, Krishna will tell us, Matparaha. Put your mind in me. I shall take care of your everything. Do you have any questions? No, the message was, so long I have a human body, I have lust. When I shall be reduced, my body will be reduced to ashes. Then and then only I shall be free from lust. I cannot predict right now. You asked through my son that whether I conquered lust or not, so long I have a human body, I have lust. That was the message. Om Asatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrittorma Amritam Gamaya Abhiravirma Yedhi Rudrayatte Dakshinamukam Tinamam Pahinityam Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.